B-Pod Studios.
App. Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady's Brookline home is now up for sale. The listing went up this morning on Barrett Sotheby's International Realty. It says the custom-built house has 5 bedrooms, 7 baths, a wine room, gym, spa, and a driveway that can hold up to 20 vehicles. The home, which was just built in 2015, is situated on 5 acres. The house is currently listed at $39.5 million.
A cool $39.5 million right there, right?
Save your money.
No kidding.
Not a small story in my mind. File the real estate. File the real estate. I think it means Brady's done. Done here. And I think done anywhere. I don't think there's much of a chance he plays elsewhere. Murray thinks he's going somewhere else.
Sure do. Yeah, I mean, again, after this article today that comes out in Men's Health, it's all about continuing to promote the TB12 method. He doesn't want to quit. He wants to play a few more years. So I think he's done here, and you'll see him elsewhere next season.
So to me, the only thing about the house listing that doesn't make sense to me is the 5 bedrooms. You got space for 20 cars, 10,000 square feet, all this stuff, but you only sleep 5 people. I mean, 5 bedrooms? I mean, that should be a 12-bedroom house.
Well, think about it. It's fine if people visit, but you're not staying here.
Well, maybe there's a benefit to that, right?
In fact, I may
incorporate that.
Yeah, embrace the practice.
And turn one into an office. I just think it's significant because file the real estate with these pro athletes. I've been saying that all day. I said it all day yesterday. And then this news dropped about Brady's house. So it's like, uh-oh. But it's not just that. It's the whole family thing. Brady has just shoved it down our throats for 3 years, three solid years, maybe a little bit more, but really laying it on thick the last couple when he skipped the offseason. He skips the offseason. He says, well, it's important that you spend time with your family, and it's a strain on Giselle, and I want to be there for my family, and you want to be there to pick up the kids up at school and help them with their homework, and you want to put them to bed at night and take them to school in the morning, and you want to be there for those moments because you can't get those moments back, and so it's important for me to be there for them, and I got to be there with family and family and family and family and family. So how in the world can you shove that down our throats for the last 2 to 3 years and then move your family to New York but still work in Boston? That to me is a leap. And that would make him a giant hypocrite. And even though I don't totally buy the family thing, I just think, boy, that's a bad look. After putting all that stuff on your family and family and family and family, then you ship them to New York, but you stay in Boston when you've got options. You just keep them here.
People got short memories. You'd be the only person that would remember this kind of thing.
Oh, my goodness. So I don't know if it's all about family and being close to the family. It's close. And Giselle is super important. This we do buy, that Giselle's all up his ass, right?
Yeah.
About being with the family and helping with the kids and all this stuff, right? She's all up in his kitchen about it. She's going to say, yeah, just stick me in New York with the kids while you work in Boston. You think she's going to accept that?
Well, I think she also, like most, good wives, supports her man and his dream. And I think as long as she gets out of here, because I've heard that she's not really a fan of being in New England all that much. So, yeah, if she gets to be closer to New York and maybe her business in terms of modeling agency.
So that would be the trade-off. Stuff. Fine, yeah. Stick me with the kids, but at least I get to live in Manhattan.
I don't know. The more I hear about this, the more I'm leaning towards Murray's side of the street.
Go ahead, Maz. What do you got?
Okay, so look, I just think if Brady were going to retire at the end of the year, why even ask for that franchise clause? Why ask for the transition clause? Why is it even necessary?
Just in case. Well, he's wanting to get something out of this.
Okay, but again, for something he's not going to use? Like, I don't know. Now, look, maybe he just wants the threat of playing somewhere else, and he wants to make him sweat.
Because he has the leverage.
Hey, I don't rule out any of that. But again, if he wasn't going to go play in another organization or at least think about it, why would he even want that? I don't know. I'm coming around to Murray's side of the street on this.
Come on over, Maz.
That Brady is at least looking at it, saying, fine, this is how it's going to be. Fine, then you know what? The thing you have to give me is don't franchise me. You can't franchise me. You can't transition me. Use a transition tag. If I want to play, I get to choose where I play. That's what I get at this stage of my career.
Okay. I just, I would have said before yesterday, Robert Kraft will never let that happen. But now he's actually kind of powerless because he doesn't have the franchise tag. And the thing automatically explodes the last day of the league year. So there's no contract. He's going to be a free agent. He's going to be.
So now, look, you've said a million times. You've seen Brady stomp his feet, kick up dirt.
Right.
And that at the end of the day, he calms down and signs a deal. Okay, so maybe this is more of that. Maybe this whole thing with the transition tag and the franchise tag is Brady kicking up more dirt, stomping his feet. You guys don't respect me. You're not going to make the commitment to me. You're not going to give me what I want. And he's kicking and screaming. So he got what he wanted in this, at least with the transition tag and the franchise tag. And when it comes time to it, time to do it, he'll end up staying here. Okay, they'll sign another one-year deal. But why ask for it if you didn't at least, you weren't at least thinking about it?
Yeah, well, maybe his agent just did his job on that one. So I hear you. I hear you. I just, the thing that I can't square is the he's going to move the family to Greenwich, the kids into school in Manhattan, but he's going to stay in Boston. That just doesn't feel like the trend of how he's doing this the last couple of years. That doesn't feel like that. You know, I'm going to follow the real estate on that. Like LeBron put his kids in school in Los Angeles and bought homes in Los Angeles, and he went to Los Angeles. Now, does that mean Brady's playing for the Jets or the Giants? No. So that's it. That's what I think. Matt in Boston, what do you think? Matt in Boston could not have set you up any better. Go.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, this whole thing is on Giselle. She's the Yoko Ono of this whole situation. So they're going to move to, like you said, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey. I think if he plays somewhere else, he's not going to go be a Titan or go down to Dallas as much as, you know, Stephen A. Smith would love that. It's going to be the Jets or the Giants. And if I see a TB12 hat in jet green, I'm going to puke.
Okay, so, and again, this sounds so stupid to actually say it out loud, but do the Jets even want him?
No.
Because the Jets, they think just drafted the guy 2 overall, and they think they have the guy. Whether they do or not, you know, if they're the Jets, they probably don't have the guy. But they're thinking it. And the Giants just drafted someone 6 overall.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, who apparently is getting booed at practice by Giants fans. Well, so maybe there's an in there.
Okay, but just,
I don't think this is a Jets or Giants thing.
No, neither do I.
I don't.
I don't think there's a play there.
No, I don't. And honestly, the more I think about it, this family stuff is bullcrap too. You know what? The fact of the matter is Giselle won't care if she's in New York. He can fly to New York from anywhere because it's a direct flight. So she's probably just like, look, Tom, get out of here.
No, but I've heard people like he's going to helicopter in from Greenwich. He's, you know. No, I don't feel that. Especially the kids. I mean, I don't know.
If he plays for another team, I'll be surprised. But again, why did he ask for that franchise tag to be listed?
His agent was smart.
But so you ask for something you don't want or need?
Okay, well, maybe you'll be right.
The only time you in a negotiation, you ask for something you want.
But here's something I reject, too, that the caller said, that Giselle's behind this, and she's dry. If the Patriots offered Tom Brady the contract that Drew Brees got or Ben Roethlisberger got, if they offered him 3 years, $90 million, half of it guaranteed, he would still be here. The house would not be on the market. The kids would not be looking at schools in Manhattan. He would be here. So it all starts with the team not being committed to him in his mind.
I would agree with that.
The only reason he's here is because of the job. And if he doesn't think the job is going to be here, then he says, there's no reason for us to be here, G. We're only here because of the job. And in his mind, the job may not be there for him, or at least not on the terms that he wants. If they made it to his liking, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Agreed.
And that's what I thought that contract might be. I thought that contract might be. And we'd be all nice and tidy, guarantees another couple years of Brady. He's still here. The kids are still in school in Brookline, and that's that. And we'll get back to this in 2 years. But now it's on the table now in my mind. Mike in Nashville. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
So you guys are missing something. What if Brady is, like, finally realizing his mortality? He's like, okay, I can only have so much avocado. I can't quite do it like I used to. It's time to start planning an exit strategy.
So I'm with you. Like, I could understand if you felt that way, except pick up this edition of Men's Health. The headline reads, Why Tom Brady Will Never Quit. And it's a voluminous, and I've read the whole thing. I want to stick forks in my eyes. But this whole thing, this whole infomercial for the Brady lifestyle brand and the Brady training methods and all this stuff, they're calling him Neo, like in The Matrix, this author.
Oh, my God, I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Thank you, Danny. The author has him like Neo in The Matrix at the line of scrimmage. It's just insufferable. This does not sound like a guy who, I don't know.
He's not walking away.
To Murray's point, right.
The thing comes with enough video and photos of him looking like a 29-year-old man to show you he's not ready to call it quits. It's about the brand and showing you that the TB12 method is also for you. You can train like this and at 40 still be pliable. You can be a better athlete if you come to TB12. It's about selling the brand as well. He's not walking away, at least from the game. I just think this could be it here, this coming season. That could be it. He's still going to play another year or two. He's going to. It just likely isn't going to be here, especially if he's selling the house.
Can you imagine if it ever actually came to that the deal expired and Tom Brady walked and played for another team?
I can't. So I've been saying this all day. I can't put that image into my head.
Oh, I can.
You're forgetting history.
Because you're evil.
You're just forgetting history. How many times have you seen this with some of the greats in professional sports? Not just in the NFL. Gretzky and Michael Jordan that ended up playing for other teams. And that's it looks true. Foreign and it's gross, but it ends up happening.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Oh, by the way, Shaughnessy has Dave Dombrowski fired. Done. Done with the Red Sox. Is that the right move for the Sox? We'll take your thoughts on that one as well.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports
Hub. To cut to the chase, he's not happy that he's having to come hat in hand and ask for a deal. He's not happy at the first proposals that were made to him, which were a more modest bump and, again, incentives that were going to bring him higher than $23 million, but they were so unattainable, i.e. be the league MVP, i.e. win the Super Bowl, that they were almost, again, ghost incentives. So it became, at least to put it mildly, there was a lot of wrangling that went on. Fortunately, they got it resolved, but now Brady has a chance to pull the ripcord on the whole thing at the end of the season if they don't come up with something.
Okay, Tommy Curran there explaining Tom Brady's unhappiness with the latest contract negotiations. This $8 million bump originally was back to those incentives that they gave him last year. So I do wonder, and Curran has hinted this, that Brady was going to stage some sort of holdout or walkout or some sort of, you know, I'm sure it wouldn't be overt, but was he really threatening to not go to Detroit? And they could explain it away and say, well, he's not playing, so he's going to keep this load management and he's going to stay home. Like, you know, they could lie and explain it away, but was he really threatening that?
Well, so that's the thing is, even if he wasn't going to do it, he was threatening it. That's what I take out of it. And again, that's what this whole thing feels like now. So, and maybe that is different than what Brady has done in the past. Like I said, over time, you know, eventually you do reach the point where you just say, enough's enough. And little by little, you get a little bit closer every time to actually doing something about it. And so maybe this time he said, you know what, guys, I'm not going to play. I'm not playing in the preseason unless we get this thing figured out. And until we get it figured out, I'm not going to put myself at risk, especially when we don't have a left tackle.
And in the meantime, he says to Giselle, this ain't happening. And we're only here for the job, so let's start packing. And that's sort of, I wonder if what's going on. That's what I think is going on, frankly. Tom Curran had a follow-up comment. Jimmy, I don't know if we played that earlier. Let's just hear it earlier again, more sort of detail and insight into this one.
I think that they walk away from the table with the Patriots getting their way, got a little cap space, they placated Tom, and they're going to call his bluff at the end of the year. Here's what we're going to offer you to play next year. And the interesting thing that you can't stress enough is, you're paying him $23 million. If he goes out with lesser weapons around him, John, and puts in a lesser number, do you think they're going to give him a raise to $27
million? No way. This is what we talked about yesterday, too. And this is, you know, even before that I heard that report about the voidable years, I said, they're never going to give him $30 million. And the original report was the first 2 years, you know, the tack on years were 30 and 32. And that's why I called the contract garbage. Because it immediately came with both sides agree to revisit when that time comes. I'm like, well, that's an automatic. They would only give him 23 this year. They'd only give him 23 this year. That's only 2 years removed from the MVP. That's only 2 years removed from a huge statistical year. That's at his age 42 season. You're telling me they'll only give him 23 this year, but next year, when he's a year older, a year removed from the MVP caliber season, they're suddenly going to go from 23 to 30?
No, unless it's like...
No way!
Unless it's prove it. And this is, you know, this is the one thing that I'm kind of hoping works out with this fake deal, is that it lights a fire under his ass, kind of like the Garoppolo draft did, you know, them drafting Garoppolo in 2014 did, and he goes out and he has a ridiculous season, they win the Super Bowl again. And then he can say to them, look, I'm still playing at a very high level. This is technically, you know, on paper, $30 million bucks, you got me here, so pay me that money. It'd be tough not to. If he goes out and has an MVP-type season,
they're not going to pay him that money.
No.
Even if he has, but no, Jim, if he has an MVP kind of season, it makes it more interesting. But I still think they look at it and say, we're not paying you on past production. You're 43. Like that sort of thing. Like, don't you think they'll still pull that?
Given their history, yeah. But in that,
did he win an MVP in 2017?
Yes.
Okay, so he wins the MVP in 2017. Remember what they gave him in 2018?
Yeah, no. It was
dog food.
Yeah. Dangling carrots. That's
they
all
gave
it
him
was.
Scrap. So if he comes, so I'm sorry, I'm going back to my original statement. If they would only give him that coming off an MVP at age 40, what are they going to give him coming off MVP at 42?
Not much.
This is the same thing.
It's a just-in-case thing. They likely wouldn't. But if he does play at that kind of level, well, he'll just go take his services somewhere else.
Well, I was just going to say, that in that case, he won't have any trouble making it on the market.
On the table.
And then who looks like the bad guy? The team, not him.
See, I also think that you know, in Curran's, that cut we just played, Curran's point is, given what's around him, is he going to play better or is he going to play worse? This is the part that I think is related to Belichick, is the roster construction. Like, is Kraft actually sitting there with Belichick saying, Bill, listen, build the roster in such a way that Tom's numbers are going to go down, but we'll still win, so that way we don't have to pay Tom at the end of the deal? No. Like, I can't imagine that's the case. I think this is Belichick saying, no, the way to build it now is to safeguard ourselves for when Tom starts to deteriorate. And so Brady's getting it from both sides now. Bill's screwing him on the roster, and the Krafts are screwing him on the contract.
And the sign is on the front yard, so to speak, and the bags are being packed. Peter in Brookline. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, guys. Hey. Love the show. Been listening forever. Got speakers so my phone doesn't suck. This organization owes Brady. Foxborough Stadium was rebuilt and opened in 2002. They started building it in 2000. Without Brady, I feel like Patriot Place doesn't exist. I feel like we don't have a second FM sports station in this town. And we're still stuck with those other guys that suck that used to be across the street, and that's all we have. I feel like this organization owes him. Like, they're going to open up that purse, give him not what he deserves, but what he's earned. He's the greatest to ever play the position in his life. And I'm not a millennial, but I am 30, I think. And, like, I remember when Boston sports was nothing like it is now, and then suddenly Brady comes around.
Okay, Peter, I got it. Thank you for the call. Do you think the Patriots are going to operate like that?
No.
Because of what he did 20 years ago for
him? No.
No, they're already proving that they're not going to.
No, there's no way. And again, I know what Brady has meant. We all do. But let's not oversimplify it either. Okay, it's been all of them. And specifically Bill and Brady. Like, let's not get stupid with that either. Because if we want to be fair, the gap between Belichick and everybody else that does what he does is bigger than the gap between what Brady does and everyone else that he does. So Belichick should be making five times what he makes, for crying out loud. So if we're going to start, you know, doing that, then we got to do it for Bill too. So like, I don't believe that, but I do believe that it's reached a point where Brady's frustrated. And again, he might calm down. He calms down always almost. But
if the house is sold and the kids are in Manhattan,
it's a pretty scary reality. Isn't
yeah.
It?
Like that's the, you know, okay, you can change your mind, but, oh, in the meantime, I just moved everybody down to New York. I'm going to bring them all back? Like, that's what makes it real. That's why you follow the real estate. Those are real-life decisions. And when people start making those real-life decisions to go to a certain place, the sports thing generally follows. And again, I don't think he's going to be a Jet or a Giant, so I think he's done. I think. Tony in Kingston, you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I do. First off, congratulations, guys, on the 10 years.
Thank you.
Secondly, a Giant fan, so I'm biased. But Eli's got this year an asset. The general consensus is that Daniel Jones needs the 2 to 3 years of tutelage, even though they drafted him 6. Let's face it, he was a bit of a reach. A lot of nice towns in North Jersey there. A lot of high-end towns where people like Brady and Giselle would live. And I would not be surprised if he wants to flip the big metal finger to Pats and say, you know what? The two most painful losses in your history. You know what? I'm going to go play for them.
Okay, so let me, Tony, thank you for the call.
The team that Bill always wanted to coach for, too. He got all teary there when he walked into the Inner Sanctum when he did that the two Bills thing a couple of years ago. Yeah, an extra needling of Bill there. Go play quarterback for the New York Giants. Have some familiarity with the left tackle in Nate Solder. Got the best running back in the game in Saquon Barkley. Wow.
So, Murray, would it matter to you? Okay, so you've already stated that if Tom Brady went to another team, you would root for that team before the Patriots?
Sure would.
What if it were? I don't think he's going there by a million times. But what if it were the Jets?
That's fine.
Okay, sure. Jets.
Yeah.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Yeah, I'm into these new these new uniforms they're going to be wearing this
year. Oh, I hate the uniforms, but I love the team. You know me. I'm a big Jets fan. So, yeah, okay, we'll be Jets fans. Yeah, but
I told you. The Super Bowl, I'm sorry to cut you off, the Super Bowl a couple of years ago against the Eagles, in which without Brady they'd lose by 40 points, that's the line in the sand for me. After that game, I'm Brady over team.
I bought all my friends' Jets hats when Parcells went there.
Here's Murray's update. We also have Dan Chauncey saying Dave Dombrowski out with the Red Sox. We'll get to that story as well again after the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Again, another thing worth discussing. Dan Chauncey, the Boston Globe, writes the following this afternoon on the Boston Globe website. I'll be shocked if Dave Dombrowski is back with the Red Sox next season, he says. Boston's president of baseball operations has increasingly isolated himself with pals Frank Wren and Tony La Russa, and has few friends inside of Fenway's walls. Dombrowski is under contract for just one more season. When you have the top payroll in baseball and don't make the playoffs, somebody has to go. Alex Cora isn't going anywhere. Dombrowski has been exactly what we thought he would be. He delivered a championship, but he gets the blame for the Chris Sale and Nathan Eovaldi contract extensions and for failing to address the bullpen need. He's clearly not the guy to oversee a much-needed farm system rebuild. Candidate to replace Dombrowski? Eddie Romero. Who's Eddie Romero?
He is one of their, he has been like a scout that they've used in the international market down in the Caribbean. I think he's the son of the former infielder that played for the Red Sox and the Brewers. Mm-hmm. I think he's his son. And so very well-respected evaluator and talent scout.
But
and he's currently the VP and assistant GM. He only reports to Dombrowski. He's been with the Red Sox about 14 years.
Yeah, but he's never been a chief executive.
No, never. He's never run the operation. No.
Okay, that scares me. I don't like this. I think it's a panic move.
So I'll believe that it's Eddie Romero when it's Eddie Romero.
Okay, but do you believe Dombrowski's out?
Oh, I think Shaughnessy got some info. I don't think he's just throwing it out there. I mean, he says, I'll be shocked. He knows something.
So you think Dombrowski's gone?
I think based on that, yeah. I think Shaughnessy's on to something. Dombrowski's gone. If I were John Henry, I know the first phone call I'd make. I'd call the Cubs and try to trade for Theo. Come back.
So, okay, 100%. Now we're talking. If you're telling me you can upgrade from Dombrowski, that's fine. If it's another first-time guy, Ben Cherington, Ed Romero, I'm not interested in that. I think for the most part, Dombrowski's done his job. He has. And he's not been good this year, obviously. And he left a gaping hole, and it, you know, they all overplayed their hand. All of them. In terms of just rolling it back from last year. So he deserves blame for that like everybody else. I'm not telling you he had a good year. But boy, that, you know, I think on balance, he's come and done exactly what you paid him to do, like Shaughnessy said, and you're straight, still right in the middle of your run. I mean, did Houston haul off and fire their GM after they lost last year?
Well, they got to the LCS.
I know, but it's, I don't know. I just feel like with a little attitude adjustment, they get their heads out of their asses, they're right back to being a real contender next year.
Yeah, so look, again, I'm not trying to put Dombrowski first on the list of things that led them down this slope this year. Okay, honestly, I'd probably put Cora higher, but I'm not firing Cora. But I also look at it. See, I put more emphasis on the farm system than you do. If you have to start rebuilding that thing now, you want him to do it?
I might want him more than a first-time guy.
Well, I'm not convinced of that. I'm not convinced of that. I'm not sure he's ever really built it, period, anywhere. And I don't think he has any interest in doing it. So, like,
So let me back up. I don't think that's what they should be doing next year. I think they still have to win in the next couple of years because the day of reckoning is coming. And I think they're right in the middle of their window and they're built to win now, and it should still be about winning now. You're not resetting the franchise and rebuilding the farm system now. You're winning.
Okay, but you got to do both. You got to do both. What? Like, why do the Red Sox have to pick? They should be able to do both.
No, I understand. So don't let them trade any of your prospects. Done.
So I think
and let the scouts go do their job.
So again, look, I'm not telling you that he's first on the list of people to blame. You're giving him too much credit, though. He inherited Mookie. He inherited Bogarts. He inherited Benintendi. He signed Price because they offered him the most money, which is really an ownership signing. He traded for Sale with someone else's prospects.
Real decision, though.
Because he inherited Kopech. He inherited Moncada. But, you know, like, he inherited all the talent. He inherited all of it. Now, you want to say J.D. Martinez? Fine. Did they play it right? Like, does he not negotiate with Boris? Is there some art to that, skill to that, experience? Sure. I just don't think that Dombrowski's been anything special. I don't. I don't think he's anywhere near as special as you do.
Is he a capable baseball guy?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm worried the next guy's not.
And look, it's a legit concern. You can't be shocked by this.
I'm a little surprised. I feel like it's panic. Or
no, someone's got to go.
It's
after
knee-jerk.
This
the GM?
Well, it's either that or the manager, and they're not firing the manager.
Because the players quit? How's that Dombrowski's? He still has a top three team in baseball talent-wise.
Yeah, they'll reshuffle the roster, but not everybody's going to be gone, so someone has to pay.
I'm just saying, they won three straight divisions, a World Series, and you look at the roster right now, it's still a top three roster in baseball. I don't fire that GM. I'm not firing that GM. This is on the uniform personnel this season. You acknowledge that. So the GM, it's what, you just whacking a guy because some heads have to roll?
Yeah.
That's not the way to roll. That's not the way to run a business.
Yeah. At the trade deadline, did they not make a deal because they wouldn't or they couldn't? And when I say that, I mean, did they have the talent? Who was it that reported? Mark Feinsand of the MLB Network that said teams liked other organizations' talent better than the Red Sox? Is that really all that shocking?
So
their farm system sucks, Mike. It sucks.
Okay, is that totally his fault?
It's a big part of his fault, yeah.
But
whose fault would it be
otherwise?
Okay,
but what I'm saying is, so if you had Moncada, you'd say you had a good farm system, but wouldn't you rather have had Chris Sale?
Okay, but again, it's not solely about Moncada. It's about the fact that they haven't drafted or signed well, that they've overpaid for other players.
Okay, but you understand that that's the direction they wanted to go. That's why you hired Dave Dombrowski in the first point.
Sure.
In the first place, you had Ben Cherington to do that thing. And he was too tight with those prospects. So he brought in the next guy to win now, and he did.
Okay, and so maybe now they're at a different point.
I don't think it's time.
Oh, I do.
I don't.
I mean, their farm system blows. It blows. There's nothing down there.
I read Alex Spear and about all these guys in A-ball and low double-A ball.
Oh, like, great.
The 19-year-olds are coming. No, you don't buy that?
No. A-ball, please. Everybody's got prospects in A-ball.
Still sitting over there corrupted by this team somehow.
No, I'm just saying.
You got an in with Dombrowski, I'm convinced of it.
No, I don't. I've never been. I just think it's a panic move. Again, agree or disagree, they have a top three roster in the game.
Probably yes.
Yeah, so it's not about the GM.
I mean, I was going to say maybe four, but whatever.
It's a top five roster in the game.
I'm not going to quibble over the number. Yes, they have a lot of talent.
It's not about the roster that he built. It's about the approach that they took, all of them.
This year.
Yes.
This year. But again, like, also...
Well, you also have to tell me who the next guy is.
How do you feel about the Chris Sale contract right now? How do you feel about the Eovaldi contract now?
I blame Henry for Chris Sale. I think he was chasing his tail on John Lester.
I don't know about that.
I do. I mean, I don't know it. No one knows it. I'm just telling you what I think.
Yeah, I'm telling you that Dombrowski's MO is to keep giving these guys contracts.
Classic John Henry overcompensation. Didn't he even say something at the picnic tables that we're not making that mistake again?
Yeah. Yes, it's also classic Dave Dombrowski just keep throwing the money at the proven guy.
Well, then fine. They were co-conspirators, but Henry was all in on signing Chris Sale. All in on it. And if he wasn't, he wouldn't have been signed. I'm just telling you who the next guy is. Tell me who the next guy is.
So you're concerned. But separate the arguments. Is it about the next guy or is it about Dombrowski?
Next guy.
Okay, so then they better hire the next guy.
No, what I mean is...
But has Dombrowski done such an exceptional job that you sit there and go...
He's the only guy? No, I'm not. But tell me who's coming.
Okay, so that one I can't answer for you.
And it's not that I know the GM game around there, you know, out there. I'd let, you know, if Theo was coming back, love it. No problem. If you get Andrew Freeman from the Dodgers, love it. I'd make that upgrade any day of the week. I'll tell you, my GM in Milwaukee there, is it Stern? What's his name? Pretty good little nerd we got there. Pretty snappy little nerd. You'd do well with that guy. He's a good GM. So if I know who the GM is coming back.
Yeah, but how many people, like, they shouldn't be household names at this point. Who's the Astros GM?
What's his face?
Yeah, exactly.
No, AJ.
No, AJ Hinch is the manager.
No, all right. So what's the GM's name?
See?
Off the top of my head, I can't even...
We can't tell you what it is.
No.
But whatever, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Who whoever the guy is, he's pretty good. They got snappy little nerd too. So if you're telling me,
so how do you know you're not going to get the next snappy little nerd?
I'm scared. I'm scared that they get the wrong nerd.
So you can be scared. Be scared all you want. The fact is that you've done more. More of your argument is about who the next guy is versus defending Dombrowski.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fair.
There have been a lot of bad moves there. I'm not telling you they've all been bad because there have been some good ones too. But maybe the thing is expired. It's time to go.
David Stearns. Look at him. Brewers GM. That is a nerd's nerd right there, man.
Jeff Luno.
Luno.
Okay. This David Stearns guy will have you shifting in the middle of every pitch. He's got guys running all over the place. I'll make you want to blow your brains out.
I'm telling you, if I'm Henry, get on the horn. Get Theo on the horn. Give the Cubs whatever they want and get his ass back here.
Okay, so there's that other story. Tom Brady, gone. Dave Dombrowski, according to Dan Chauncey, gone. Your thoughts on both in our long commercial-free segment.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So on the contract, I'm just curious, like, was there a part of you that just wanted that put to bed? Like, that, and there's a relief now that just you have some clarity with that situation?
It is what it is. That's a good line. So whoever said it, it's very pertinent. So, like I said, there's a lot of guys who have, you know, 1 year left on their contract. You know, so the situation, I got 1 year to go, and we'll see what happens.
Tom Brady yesterday, Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal points out the obvious. Says Brady doesn't seem particularly pleased with his deal. No kidding. What tipped it off? The fact that he only called it a 1 year deal when it was 2 extra years, I added on the one that he already had. So if he was playing the game, he'd say 3. Instead, he said it's done after this year and we'll see what happens. Is that what tipped you off? So Bedard says, states the obvious, Brady doesn't seem particularly pleased with his deal. But he does point out that Brady, in the end, did what he always does, which is give into the crafts at the end of the day. They and he know he's not going to back up. I'm sorry. They and he know he's not going to pack up and move at this point in his career. So when Bedard wrote that, I don't know if the news about Brady's house being on the market was out. But he's certainly talking team-wise. The Patriots and Brady know he's not going to pack up and move at this point in his career, Bedard says. Bedard says Brady is not a prima donna like Brett Favre. He doesn't have an injury like Peyton Manning and Joe Montana. Brady knows full well how it would reflect on him if he just left to play for another team. And the Patriots know that as well. And also that it would reflect poorly on them. So both sides sort of know it's never going to happen, that he's never going to go play for another team. Do you buy that? Do you buy that, Murray?
Oh, no. He's going to go play for another team. He's not done. He is not done.
And I asked this earlier, and I just find it, you know, an interesting conversation, because when I asked it, I didn't fully know the answer. But if Tom Brady does go play for another team, does that hurt his legacy?
No.
Nope. Not at all. It didn't hurt Montana's. It didn't hurt Peyton Manning's. It certainly didn't hurt Brett Favre's. I mean, it all kind of ended ugly for them because age caught up with them, but I don't think it hurt their legacy.
So my gut is to say yes. He goes and puts a Tennessee Titans helmet on. Vinny out at NBC Sports Boston. What does that look like again?
Look at that. Can't wait to buy that jersey.
God, that looks cheesy. God, that looks wrong. God, that doesn't look right for Tom Brady when I see that. It just doesn't. But you just pointed it out. Do we think any less of Joe Montana because what he did in Kansas City?
Nope.
And in fact, people forget that he took him to the AFC title game. But let's just say he went to Kansas City and played out the string and didn't do that. Is that held against him?
No.
No. Is it held against Favre the year in New York? Which was totally cheesy and useless, but that's not held against him.
I mean, that one's forgotten. People remember his 2 years with the Vikings more than that.
And in Minnesota, he actually went on and did something.
Yeah.
Is it held against Peyton Manning that he went to Denver? Of course not. He won another Super Bowl. Enhanced his legacy. In fact, resurrected his career. So who did it hurt? Did it hurt Joe Namath? I remember as a kid, Joe Namath, going and limping around truly like a guy on one leg with the LA Rams. Did that hurt Joe Namath? At the moment, it looked kind of pathetic, but Joe Willie Namath's legacy and legend in New York is not one iota less because he went and played for the Rams. Did it hurt Johnny Unitas that he ended up with the San Diego Chargers or whatever the hell it was?
No, all of that's kind of forgotten in a different position, but like Emmitt Smith when he went to the Arizona Cardinals, like guys maybe hang on too long.
Who remembers that?
No one.
Nobody remembers that. I think the bigger price comes for the organization and the GM or the owner, depending on how you want to look at it. In this case, it would be the Crafts and the Patriots organization. That's where the hit would come because there are people like Murray that have more of allegiance to Brady than they do to the Patriots. So they're going to look at it and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? And it will be perceived as them pushing him out the door, whether they like it or not. That's how it's going to be perceived.
So I think it's much more of a PR hit on the team than the player. But I, you know, I had to think it out. But to bring up those other examples, I think makes sense. What really hurts a player's legacy at the end is if he plays like crap. Then, Namath was hurt more than the fact that he should have been out on the field when he was playing at the very end. Or Peyton Manning in his last year, even in Super Bowl victory, guy couldn't play anymore.
I mean, Marino at the end, that last game against the Jaguars was at 62-7. It was pathetic.
So we mentioned Marino before. He finished his career as a Dolphin, but I still remember the last couple of years as being real ugly. It makes no difference what helmet he was wearing or what team he was on. He shouldn't have been out on the field. Talk about Achilles problems. Couldn't move that guy. So that's really what... And that's really what would hurt Brady's legacy, is if he has a couple of years out there at the very end where he looks like Dan Marino at the very end or Joe Namath at the very end, and I'm sort of dating myself with that one, but the old-timers know what I'm talking about, or Peyton Manning in the last year or two when he couldn't throw the football. That's what hurts Brady, not the fact that he plays for another team.
Yeah, I don't think fans will look at it that way. I think fans will look at it and say, how do you let this guy go finish somewhere else? That's how fans will look at it. I'm just, you know, again, to me, that's how it comes down. Not that he turned his back and walked out the door.
What I find amazing is that Brady leads in the leverage game. If Brady still wants to keep playing, if Murray's right, he wants to keep playing. I am stunned the Patriots have left themselves exposed leverage-wise. They have no backup plan, and they gave away the franchise tag. Brady has freedom. He's guaranteed to be a free agent at 4:01 on March 6th or whatever that day is. And he's already got the family moved. It's not like he even has to figure out where he's going to live or what he's going to do. He's setting that all up. He's setting that. He's greasing all those skids. So when the Patriots say, you'll never leave, you're not going anywhere, he's like, actually, no, I just got this place in Greenwich. It's pretty sweet. The kids are enrolled at this place in Manhattan. Gee, loves it. We're actually all set. So he's at, like, because that's, as anyone knows, the only way you get what you want in a negotiation is if you're willing to walk away. That's it. The only time you win is when you're willing to say no and walk away and you're at peace with it and you're all set with something else somewhere else. And if Tom Brady is, it's actually smart. It's leverage. No, I'm not going to take it this time and I don't have to stay here. And the only reason I'm here anyway is because of the job. And if the job ain't going to be here, then I ain't going to be here and I'll be just fine. And you can't do anything about it now.
So the question is whether he'd actually go through with it.
Would he actually go through it? I'm still a no. But it's all set up for him to do that. And I'm stunned the Crafts gave it away. I mean, that really is the surprising part.
That to me is like maybe the most, we learned that yesterday. Obviously, the news of the contract came out over the weekend. We come in here yesterday and all of a sudden you hear reports out there that there is no, in the agreement, there is no ability for the Patriots to use either the franchise tag or the transition tag, which means Brady can walk and they can't do a thing about it.
Okay, so again, I think he's just done. Murray thinks he goes and plays for another team. And Murray says he will be more of a fan of that team than the Patriots next year.
Temporarily, until Brady retires, but yes.
So as long as Brady's playing, you're rooting for whatever team he's on more than the Patriots.
Sure am.
Go Titans.
Yep.
And just pick whatever the worst team you could possibly imagine. What team do you hate more than any other? Cowboys, Jets?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Go Steelers?
I'd have to swallow my pride and everything that I've ever said about the Steelers and say yep. Because I'd have to buy the Steeler Brady jersey. But I don't have to worry about that because Roethlisberger's there. You got to look at the teams that would actually be able to sign a quarterback like him.
How do we think Patriots fans feel about it? In fact, we know it because we've had a very scientific Felger and Maz poll put out this morning by Big Jim Murray. What's the question? What are the results, please?
The question is on the Felger and Maz Twitter page. When Brady leaves next season, love the opinion, who will you be rooting for more? Option A, the Patriots. Option B, Tom Brady's new team. 68% say the Patriots, 32% say Brady's new team.
That's still 32%, a big number. 1 in 3 are going to root for the Titans over the Patriots?
5,421 votes.
Yeah, Jim Murray youth. Freaking Murray's followers. The Murrayites.
It's awesome.
Okay, so there are your
polls. You know what team he's going to play for, right?
The Murrayans.
Jimmy, who do you got?
So Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see how that all plays out.
Murray's followers weed the people.
Okay, Chauncey's got Dombrowski out. I believe that Tom Brady's out after this year, too, unless something changes. He buys another house in Boston. The kids re-enroll in Boston. Then my opinion changes, but if this is what it is, kids are going to go to school in Manhattan. He's looking at property in Connecticut. Brookline's for sale. He's done. That's it. 1 year. Am I overreacting on that piece? Your calls on both, I promise. Right after Murray's 90-second update, no.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.